When I moved to Los Angeles, I had two goals. One, be the next Spike Lee. And two, find a boyfriend who would love me forever. Now, the tricky part about the boyfriend thing is that I was still in the closet. I wasn't out. And it's really hard to meet gay men when no one actually knows you're gay. But luckily, I had a good friend who I had grown up with in Los Angeles named Brian, and he was living in Los Angeles, and he had been there for a couple of years. He picked me up and took me to lunch one afternoon, and we were just hanging out at the mall. And I noticed him catching the eye of a lot of guys, and I asked him, "Do you know all these people?" He said, "No, I'm cruising." And I was like, "What's that?" And he tells me that it's a way to meet men in public without anybody else knowing, completely under the radar, just by doing a couple of things. And he doesn't know that I'm gay. But at that moment, I am taking serious mental notes so that I can do this later. And he said the most essential part of cruising was the look back. So you pass a guy, and then you wait a few moments, and you turn around. And if they're looking at you while you look at them, then basically you go live happily ever after. So weeks go by, and I've been thinking about cruising. And I finally get up the courage to go do it. So I go, you know, shop for a man at the same mall in which he taught me how to cruise. Now, I didn't know exactly what to wear, but I just went with my gut. I had great legs, so I wore these athletic shorts that did what they had to do. And then I had this sweatshirt that I had turned into this sort of Jennifer Beals flash dance thing. And I had my navel out. And I also cut off the arms and cut the collar out so that, you know, I gave a little shoulder. So I am walking through the mall doing what Brian told me to do. I'm looking back. But I hadn't thought about the plan because it's Saturday in Los Angeles. Pretty much everybody is gorgeous and it's packed. So I'm looking back every 2 seconds. And at some point, I'm basically walking backwards through the mall and nobody else is looking back at me, maybe because I look crazy. So just when I had given up, I pass by this tall, handsome, older guy, and I look back, and he looks back. I was so excited. So we go sit down on the bench, and we talk for about 15, 20 minutes. He was a real grown-up. His jeans were ironed. He wore hard-sole shoes. He was 35 years old. And he told me he was a music producer and that he was a backup singer, which made total sense to me because he had the biggest pager I had ever seen in my life on his hip. He just looked really important. And we talked for a while, and eventually he said, would you like to go out to dinner? And I said, of course. And we made our way down to the parking garage to his brand new Infiniti. And I get inside, and there's a car phone inside this Infiniti. And I'm thinking, cruising is awesome. So we get out of the parking garage, and I realized for the first time that I may have actually voluntarily gotten into the car with my own kidnapper, but I was so excited that I didn't worry about it. And I figured he would take me to Spago's or some other fancy restaurant that I had heard about or seen in the movies, but we were going the opposite direction from Beverly Hills, and we made our way down La Brea to a restaurant in Inglewood called Golden Bird Fried Chicken. And we pull up, it's in the strip mall, and we get there and it's closed. But he knows the manager. He's like this VIP. So the manager hands us a bag of chicken and some fruit punch, and we go sit in his car and eat and talk for hours. It was amazing. So we start dating. And immediately our dating life was a little bit interesting. He would do things like show up late by about 3 to 5 hours for our dinner dates. And he'd call me from his car phone, and I would come downstairs like it wasn't midnight and just go have dinner with him. But I had told myself, well, he's a producer, so he was probably in the studio making beats or something, or whatever they do. And then he also wore a wedding ring sometimes. And he explained to me that the ring was because the industry was a little bit homophobic. And it made sense because he was working with guys in the studio, and, you know, I let it happen. And it was actually this one time where he introduced me to this woman as his little homie who was in the film industry, which I thought was a strange thing because I had been in LA for 5 minutes and I was at that point working at the same mall where I had met him. And the woman wasn't nice to me. And I couldn't make sense of that. But he later explained that she was his manager and she was very protective of her clients. And that made sense even. And the only thing I couldn't reconcile there was that they were kind of dressed alike. But again, I let that go. And months down the line, he's on tour with Gladys Knight singing backup, and I'm really proud of him. He's calling me almost every night to check in, to tell me about what's going on. And then this one day, we talk, and he's in Georgia. And we have a great conversation. We hang up, and a couple of hours later, I'm driving down Melrose, and I see him in Los Angeles, not in Georgia. So I try to catch up with him, but by that point, he's gone. And when I finally get to talk to him again, he just says, "It wasn't me." And I'm like, it was you. He says, "It must have been someone who looked like me." And I'm like, "But they had on your glasses." And he still denies it. He would never tell the truth. And at that point, I just said, "This is enough." You know, it's really amazing how easy it is to see only what it is you want to see in a situation. But the truth is, I knew who he was early on. I mean, I was young, but I wasn't a total idiot, you know? And the thing is, you know, what I was also seeing besides him was myself. And that part scared me. All the fears and insecurities and even the desires that I was having that I didn't quite know what to do with. And dealing with that part was a bigger challenge than any lie or any fake Gladys Knight tour that he could ever tell me about.